At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Years of joyfulness. Hello, good afternoon, and welcome to the Midday News. This bulletin is live on Joy 99.7 FM and hits 103.5 FM here in Accra. We are on Love 99.5 FM in Kumasi and on myjoyonline.com. We are also live in all 16 regions of Ghana via our various affiliates, live on X Spaces and Facebook. The Midday News is supported by Petrosol Platinum Energy, energizing dreams. Coming up, ECG proposes a 225% increase in its distribution service charge, a move expected to drive up electricity tariffs. The company says city depreciation and rising costs have eroded its revenue, threatening its ability to reliably supply power to our homes or businesses. Also, fresh tensions in the Savannah region as a man is gunned down by unknown assailants while on a simple trip to charge his phone. We have details. Meanwhile, four of the displaced residents seeking shelter in Winchi have been confirmed dead. Also coming up, pay 4 million cities development fees or you are disqualified. Joy News uncovers new conditions imposed on aspirants seeking to lead the NPP in the 2028 elections.
And if it says it has also determined another fee, termed development fee, to be paid by each aspirant, you've got to pay. If you don't pay, it can be used or it will be used as a basis for your disqualification.
Presidential aspirant Kwabena Ejiofor insists the NPP's National Executive Committee has no mandate to impose such fees on aspirants.
But the development National fee. Council has no role in fixing the fees.
Okay.
According to our constitution.
In sports.
High stakes for Ghana in the World Cup qualifiers as the Black Stars face Mali in a potential Group I decider.
Later on in the bulletin, Kumasi Metropolitan Assembly's harsh reality, mounting debt, shrinking revenue, and rising burden as judgment debt consumes its finances.
Even the office that we're sitting in, I had to use my own resource to furnish here.
Why?
Everything that's here is provided by me.
Because Assembly couldn't provide the financing to do it.
I came. It was such that Assembly could not raise the money.
There was no money in the accounts?
It had been garnished.
Also, following Joy News documentary, Deadly Doses, the KMA is moving to close down Tinker Island, a notorious drug den at Ashtown.
If I tell you, it's going to be easy. I'll be bargaining. The major challenge will not be those who use the drugs. It will not be those who come there to sell. It is those who don't come there and are the source of the business and are very difficult to find.
These and more with me, Pearl Ofori. This is Joy News, independent, fearless, and credible. This afternoon, the Electricity Company of Ghana is demanding a 225% increase in its distribution service charge for the 2025 to the 2029 tariff period. The proposal published in the dailies today is expected to be presented to the PRC for approval. It is requesting that the distribution service charge be raised from 19 pesos to nearly 62 pesos per kilowatt hour, citing the sharp depreciation of the city, which it says has wiped out almost half the real value of its revenues. The company argues that without a cost-reflective tariff, it cannot sustain maintenance or invest in critical upgrades to improve supply reliability. Now, joining me in the studio now is my colleague Caleb Ziblim with the Joinees Research Desk. He has details on what ECG is demanding. Caleb, first tell us, what is the distribution service charge?
Yes, Pearl. So the distribution service charge is the share of the electricity tariff that is allocated to ECG. So ECG uses this to cover their distributing and retailing power. So it finances ECG's day-to-day operations, network maintenance, and staff salaries. Other components of the electricity tariff goes to other players such as Gridco and the independent power producers. So ECG's share of the electricity tariff is the distributing service charge.
And why is ECG proposing this increment?
Okay, so Ghana's electricity tariff structure is reviewed every few years, with the current major adjustments happening in September 2025. Mm-hmm. This is also part of Ghana's conditions with the IMF, okay. So it has to be undergone. Now, in 2022, a major adjustment happened in 2022, and this increased the service charge from 16 pesos per kilowatt hour to 17 pesos per kilowatt hour. And then over the past 2 years, it has now increased from 17 to 19 pesos per kilowatt hour. But ECG mm-hmm. says this is not adequate.
Okay.
And the company is citing significant investments in infrastructure and a sharp depreciation of the city over the past 2 years, which it says has eroded its revenues. So ECG is suggesting that the service charge be increased from 19 pesos to 61.8 pesos. And that's about a 222% increment.
Now the big question, how will this affect consumers?
Now, this has to be approved by the PRC. So if approved by the PRC, it means that we'll have higher electricity bills to pay. Now, for instance, if you need about 100 kilowatts per hour every month, you have to pay an additional 42 cedis, 76 pesos. So this will be significant for consumers if accepted by PRC. But there's precedence, because in 2022, ECG asked for 39 pesos per kilowatt hours, but PRC approved only 17 pesos. Mm-hmm. So we are assuming that the regulator does not always approve the full amount the utilities request for. So hopefully PRC would take consumers into mind.
Caleb, thank you so much for that update. We'll try and reach ECG for their response to the story. Now let's move on to other stories. There are fresh tensions in the Savannah region as a man has been gunned down by unknown assailants while on a simple trip to charge his phone. Four displaced people seeking shelter from the conflict have also been reported dead. Joint sources at the Wenchi camp say the victims include three adult women and a teenage girl. Two of the women fell ill and were taken to the Wenchi hospital, where they later died. The teenage girl reportedly died while still at the camp. The fourth victim, believed to be in her early 90s, was returned to a community at Bongbong, a suburb of the Bole district, where she reportedly died 2 days after her return. Our correspondent, Isaac Nyona, has been following this story and joins us with details. Good afternoon, Isaac.
Good afternoon.
What else do we know about this incident?
Yes. Listening to the judges for the information that we got it, they came across that these two were sick. They were sick, and having taken them to the hospital to assess medical health, the two of them passed away there, and the little girl who was still in the camp also passed on. There was this elderly woman in her early 90s who personally requested that they send her home to a community called Bong Bong in the Bola district. She got home 3 days later, and then she also died. So these are from health conditions, and not that somebody attacked them from anywhere.
Also, Isaac, how are residents reacting to the story?
Yes, this is just one of the cases that some of these people who have relocated from the original base to the camps with certain conditions in their health matters. And those who are still in the camps across the country, some definitely who have personal health cases back at home and then move there. Actually, they won't find it easy because some who are undergoing treatment locally will not still have that access to that local treatment they were going through. Or those who were on the doctor diagnosing may not really move with have access to the documents to go to another hospital for medical assistance. We talk about the camp in Sola, where we saw a woman with twins, and she said she was supposed to go back to Techima for a review in 2 weeks' time, and then the conflict started. So she was given some aid, and then finally was admitted at the Sola Tunakaba hospital. And we are told she's doing very well and have a discharge with the two twins.
Isaac Nonya, our Savannah Regional Correspondent, thank you so much for that update. Meanwhile, Wa West MP and Deputy Chairman of Parliament, Defence and Interior Committee, Peter Lanchini Tobu, has urged the fueling factions to recognise that their real enemies are not each other, but poverty and underdevelopment.
All we are praying for is peace in SDK. And the chiefs have assured us they are willing to toe the path of peace. All of you here, if you have a son anywhere, you have your daughter anywhere, who is educators is on social media, tell them to use the power of social media to call for peace. They shouldn't use the social media to call for war. War is destructive. As you sit here, you have become internally displaced persons. Other people are feeding you, and your farms are there. I've gone through a farm where there are a lot of granite, there are a lot of maize, and there is nobody there. They've absconded. Everybody's gone. This cannot be life. You cannot be an internally displaced person in your own country. Whatever we can do to bring peace, let's ensure that we bring peace so that these children don't suffer unduly. Our sisters will not suffer unduly. Our mothers will not suffer unduly. The time for us to act together is now. Peace is all we are calling for. Thank you so much.
He had Peter Lanchini Tobu, and he said this during an engagement with some 48,000 displaced people as a result of the conflict. Let's take you to Abusokai because spare parts dealers there have served notice to foreign nationals operating in the enclave to vacate their shops or face forceful eviction. At a press conference today, the traders insisted that the spare parts business is legally reserved for Ghanaians and accused foreign nationals of flouting investment laws by taking over spaces meant for locals. They allege that while they are routinely harassed by tax authorities, foreigners continue to operate with little restriction. Let's take you live there now and speak to my colleague Adobia Asare. Adobia, good afternoon. Tell us about the situation at Abusokai now.
Right, so like you rightly mentioned, these Ghanaian spare parts dealers are now calling themselves orphans in their own land because they believe the foreign nationals have been given too much freedom by authorities who should be fighting for the Ghanaian traders rather. And then the foreign nationals, especially Nigerians, are thriving while they are struggling to even make ends meet. While we were there, we did hear an announcement truck going around saying that foreign national shops will be closed from Wednesday, and that if any Ghanaian trader knows of any foreign national shop, they should just alert the authorities. And when I spoke to the traders, they were not even impressed because they said this hasn't been the first nor the second nor third time. They do these announcements all the time, and they don't see any action on the ground. So they want real action to be taken. So,
and Adobe, how the foreigners responding to this?
Right, when I tried talking to them, they didn't want to speak to us. But one person who spoke to us off record said it's out of envy that Ghanaians are saying these things because their profit margin is relatively small as compared to the profit Ghanaians put on their products. But they didn't speak on record.
Adobe Asari, thank you very much for that update. And she was reporting from Abusokai here in Accra. Let's take you to the Ashanti region now. And the Kumasi Metropolitan Assembly is grappling with deepening financial woes as mounting debts, shrinking revenue streams and heavy judgment obligations threaten its ability to deliver basic services. Joy News is learning that the Assembly is battling a 300 million CD debt. According to Chief Executive Richard Ojeman Ufuribudu, a significant portion of the Assembly's internally generated funds is being consumed by judgment debt arising from unresolved contractual disputes and litigations, leaving little room for development projects or operational needs. He spoke to my colleague in a yet-to-be-aired interview on The Pulse.
Judgment debt alone, over 140, it's not the entire debt of KMA. The entire debt of KMA is way beyond that.
Like 300 million, 400 million?
It will get to
300 million. And how did this debt come about?
Irresponsible management.
How responsible were they?
Like, we award a contract to somebody to help us manage a particular dam site,
mm-hmm.
7 months on, without any proper negotiation, we abrogate the contract without recourse to due process.
So this is a judgment that you have to clear.
Yeah.
And how are you going about clearing it?
Okay. So I've started engaging with the people that we are indebted to. There are two. One, we owe 12 million that I've had very good negotiations with. And we have come to the point whereby we are now going to take care of the person's legal fees.
Okay.
And then we'll implement some of the agreements that we have had with them. There's one that we are owing 7 million cedis. I've also had a good deal with them. But there's one major one which is virtually killing me. The one that we have with FICO FD. That's 20 million cedis that we are talking about. KMA, I think, abrogated the contract wrongfully. And then they went to court and they secured a judgment. And
Will I be right to say that currently, as you speak, in view of the financial distress that you are in, KMA may be described as a bankrupt institution?
I want to say, what you have good assets that you don't have liquid at a particular point. It cannot be described as bankrupt.
So what kind of state is KMA in?
We're in a challenging circumstance. But KMA is a difficult situation. Even the office that we're sitting in, I had to use my own resource to furnish here.
Why?
Everything that's here is provided by me.
Because Assembly couldn't provide the financing to do it.
I came. It was such that Assembly could not raise the money.
There was no money in the accounts?
It had been garnished.
Well, the Assembly is also stepping up efforts to sanitize a notorious drug den, Tinker Island, located at Ashtown, a suburb of Kumasi. A recent Joinees documentary exposed the harsh reality of the place. Richard Ofori Buedi, who is the Kumasi mayor, says that several of the addicts have been rehabilitated.
KMA is being responsible for that rehabilitation that is taking place. We are trying everything possible to get them out. I only hope and pray that those that we are working on upon the routine that they will go through will not come back. Unfortunately, if you look at them critically, a lot of them too do not come from Kumasi. Most of them come from Professor, some of them from Bekwai and other areas.
Is it possible to close down Tinker Island?
We are working towards it. It's not. If I tell you it's going to be easy, yeah, I'll be bargaining, because the major challenge will not be those who use the drugs.
Mm.
It will not be those who come there to sell, but it is those who don't come there and are the source of the business and are very difficult to find. We can get rid of everybody, but once the supply has not been curtailed, we will still have job to do.
Kumasi Mayor Richard Ajimano Furibuidi speaking to my colleague Elton Broby on The Pulse. In other news, Deputy Ranking Member of the Information and Communications Committee in Parliament, Charles Uredu, has revealed that South Africa's International Relations Minister is set to touch down in Ghana over the DSTV saga. The move, according to the Deputy Ranking Member, is an attempt to resolve the growing tension between the Communications Minister and Multi-Choice Ghana over a call for a reduction in prices. The minister's demand a few weeks ago has degenerated into a social media banter between Sam George and MultiChoice. In a later statement, the regulator, National Communications Authority, says a stakeholders meeting is scheduled for today for the two parties to agree on some terms. Blessed Suga has more.
End of events, the National Communications Authority has revealed through a press statement that it has received MultiChoice Ghana's response to threats to suspend the company's authorization and its demand for a breakdown of the pricing model. This development now means that the Communications Minister Sam George will now stand down his resolve to shut down the DSTV platform. In its stead, there will be a crunch meeting today, chaired by the sector minister himself.
I will personally chair the committee. Therefore, the committee has a strict 14-day mandate, inclusive of weekends, to conclude its work and present a suitable price reduction structure for the people of Ghana by the 21st of September 2025.
Already, Sam George is facing criticism for what his opponents describe as political grandstanding, with the former information minister Fatimatu Abubakar warning of possible implications for the country's foreign direct investment.
It is not an ego thing. You would assume that this is just a banter between DSTV and Sam George. It is not. Mm. Any other person seeking to bring FDI to Ghana will be looking at how Ghana does business.
What is certain after today's engagement is that all interested parties, including MultiChoice, have committed to respect the laws of the Republic of Ghana.
Meanwhile, John Hughes Lennon, the Minister for Internal Relations and Cooperation in South Africa, is expected in Ghana to meet our foreign minister over this matter. Deputy Ranking Member on the Communications Committee, Charles Oredu, revealed this to my colleague Mami Esinyamicha Thompson on News Desk a while ago.
I've been told that the foreign minister, the South African foreign minister, is planning to visit Ghana and then engage Ghana's foreign minister on this particular matter.
Okay.
We need to, you know, use diplomatic channels to solve this and not threat and then verbally. It doesn't help anybody. It doesn't help anybody. So this meeting today, I think that is the way to go when they are done with the meeting. This is a communication because the matter is now being brought to the public attention. Mm-hmm. So we expect some at the end of the day. If it's a communication or if it's a communication at the end of the meeting, let us know the outcome. And then we'll take it up from there. But remember, the minister was asking them to reduce their cost or their price by about 30%.
Yes.
And at that time, they raised issues with the dollar. The fact that the city had depleted against the dollar then. So mm-hmm. now that the dollar seems to, you know, appreciate against the city, I don't know whether the control minister is still going to stand on that 30% decrease of prices that he insisted earlier.
And we will be monitoring this meeting and bring you the outcome in subsequent bulletins. You're listening to the Midday News. We have more stories for you when we return. Stay with us. You're welcome back to the Midday News. And Mubarak is here. Black Stars is in the news again, right?
Exactly, Pearl. The Black Stars, they take on Mali tonight in a crucial 2026 World Cup qualifier at the Accra Sports Stadium. Their 1-1 draw with Chad last week cut Ghana's lead at the top of Group I to just 1 point, with now Madagascar and Comoros still in contention. We can now hear from the head coach, Otuadu.
I expect a different face of the players. I think the good thing is, at the end, we still have it in our own hands. It will be very, very difficult against Mali. They're in a good shape. So, I'm looking forward. We will put everything as fast as possible. It's not always easy because we have to do everything we can. And we are not at the World Cup yet. We have to fight for this. We have to give our lives for this. We are not there yet. No way. And our opponents, they will do everything to stop us from going there. So it's game by game, no matter who. No underratings, nothing. Mali, I'm sure nobody will underrate them. Everybody knows they're good. So I'm not worried. So I know we will put everything in, but we have to be concentrated.
Yeah, so that's Black Stars head coach Otuadu. Pearl, are you really confident? Have you watched the Black Stars?
Yes, I have.
And are you confident about tonight's game?
Well, I'm not confident, but we just pray.
Well, we wish them the very best.
Thank you so much, Mubarak, for that sports news. Now, 415 candidates who sat for the 2025 BEC risk having their entire results cancelled as WAEC launches a full-scale investigation into alleged exam hall practices uncovered by a GH probe investigation. The students from 14 schools wrote at the Derby Avenue RC and St. George's Anglican Exam Centres in Accra, where some were caught smuggling mobile phones into halls, using artificial intelligence tools such as ChatGPT, and even receiving solved questions directly from invigilators. Here are excerpts from the Hotline documentary.
GH probe found that one invigilator takes phone numbers of candidates in possession of phones, questions are solved in a so-called strong room, and the answers are transmitted to the candidates through their mobile phones. They copy and pass their phones on to colleagues who have no phones. The AI was used in two ways. Some candidates opted for the use of AI in generating answers to the questions and used the entire responses of AI on WhatsApp, while others sought explanations for questions they had been asked to list and explain. This second group thus demanded further help as answers invigilators had transmitted to them lacked the explanations. Some invigilators even joined the candidates in the AI search.
In the past few years, we decided that henceforth, anybody found with a phone in the examination hall would have their entire results cancelled. Because the phone is, for us, as far as examinations are concerned, a gadget that has a storage facility with which you can access information from any quarter. So phones are simply a no-go area as far as our examinations are concerned.
Some candidates brought books into the exams hall, from which they copied their answers for the BECE questions.
Certainly, talk about the coordinated form of it. I think that with the involvement of all these personnel, who I would say should have been helping us, were rather being against us. Certainly, there was something grave that went wrong in the course of the examination. Yeah.
You had GH Probes and Joy News, a documentary produced by Francisca Encho and read by my colleague Kenneth GC. Now, looking to fix that leaking pipe, repair a broken door, or get expert welding done without the hassle? At the 2025 Habitat Fair, the Ayuda app brings home services right to your doorstep, from plumbing and carpentry to welding and more, all at the tap of a button. With trusted professionals, quick response and affordable rates, Ayuda makes home maintenance stress-free, convenient and reliable. Here is CEO Benjamin Siriano explaining what it is about.
Ours is an application that you use to request for services, whether it's plumbing, whether it's electrical, whether it's painting, any kind of service, fumigation, any kind of